blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 350, stanzas 1 through 5, with joy. I heard my friends exclaim, "Come, let us in God's temple meet. Within thy gates, O Zion blessed, shall ever stand our willing feet." 1 through 5 of Psalter 350.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 26 through verse 40. Acts 8, verses 26 through 40. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 8, beginning with verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. And what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, thou still sparest us and givest us our life and health and strength in a measure, that we may be enabled above so many to approach before thy countenance in thy holy house unto thee. Lord, wilt thou forgive our many sins in which we have left thee days without number, in our rebellion, in our first father, but also in our own lives. And that is each and every one of us in particular. And then it must be said also so often, even of thy true church. And Lord, thy sparing hand over us continues from day to day, from hour to hour, and from moment to moment, despite what we are and what we remain. Lord, we may try to acknowledge thee, but if thou wilt not give life in our soul, then the blessings, they shall be taken for granted, and we shall never acknowledge thee in truth, Lord. Therefore, in this morning, all we ask of thee, that thou might work by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that thou may instruct us. We have read of one who was called and who was sent by thee. Lord, thou knowest the meeting that has taken place in the week that is gone by in our own denomination. And then, though there may be hearings, yet there was no freedom to receive any into our own theological school. And Lord, thou knowest a worry, a disappointment that was felt by us, by others. And Lord, and it is even amongst thy own people also. Oh, could it please thee to still remember us in mercy. Lord, may thou work with might and with power, even amongst our own congregations as a denomination. Oh, that thy Spirit might lead, O Lord, into the mysteries of free and sovereign grace for the chiefest of the sinners. Lord, that thou may with thy Spirit instruct in that difference between the natural understanding at a temporary faith and that true saving faith, that young and old may be led clearly upon that narrow way by entrance through that straight gate. Lord, it is a work in which thou wilt humble a man, in which thou wilt lay him low, in which thou wilt instruct him in the knowledge of himself, and thou wilt go so against our flesh. Lord, it is a way in which thou wilt receive the honor in the revelation, in the application of thy only begotten Son in all his mediatorial labors. Oh, it is a work that has been taught unto our forefathers and who have left us also an heritage, that we may read of thy work in the midst of the congregations. Lord, oh, we need that same work. We need it for our children. They can come to understand also when thou wilt give them to experience it in their own life. Even in the days of their youth, we need it for fathers and mothers, and that they may instruct their children in the work of the Lord. Lord, we need it for our teachers who stand before the children day by day, and that they also may receive that true discernment to know what is of thee and what is of man. We need it for our consistory members, for all of us as ministers, elders, and deacons, that we may also be able to guide and to instruct in the knowledge of thy ways. And Lord, then we are of ourselves so ignorant, and man seeks to enter in by his own labors without ever losing his own strength, without ever being broken down. But we would uphold ourselves even as the rich young man. All these things have I kept from my youth up. Lord, oh, that thou thyself may instruct us in the way of thy Spirit. Oh, it is a way that goes through the sea, and thy pathway that is through great waters. Thy footsteps are not known. Lord, it is a mysterious way for our mind, for our intellect. And it is a way against which the rebellion of our flesh will rise up time after time. But oh, what a blessed way to be instructed in. For it is a way that leads to rejoicing. The rejoicing in a triune God. In the wonder of free and sovereign grace. Lord, we beseech thee that thou may come also in our days in which we live with our children to give that instruction that we cannot miss, that our children may not be ignorant of thy ways, that we may not receive all things that are spoken by men and that are placed in man, even by that prince of darkness, who indeed uses also thy word, but to bring it in a way wherein man will receive the glory. Oh Lord, keep us from such a way, from self-deceit, from hypocrisy. And wilt thou thyself guide us in that way that leads to life everlasting? Look upon thy own children. Lord, we beseech thee, in days wherein thy hand seems so still, that thou may remember thy own true church. Oh, that thou may lead them, Lord, further in those steps of grace. Wilt thou bring them from resting place to resting place, that they may drink from the fountains of eternal life, that thee in thy dear Son, that he may be made known unto them in all his blessed mediatorial engravings, that light may be given in their darkness, that strength may be given in all their weakness, and that they may be given to glorify and magnify by beginnings here below, to begin to sing that eternal song that shall last forever and forever. Lord, oh, we beseech thee, leave us not to ourselves, but have thou mercy upon us with our loved ones, though we do not deserve it. Lord, wilt thou go before all thy truly sent servants, even in this thy holy day, and from Sabbath to Sabbath over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Oh, that thou thyself may also instruct us, that we may teach others, and that we may be led, Lord, by thy Spirit into the mysteries of salvation, that we may be able to bring forth things new and old out of thy law. Lord, wilt thou so go with thy word this day in the midst of us, in the midst of our denomination, but also in those places wherein thy word may come. Lord, may thou bless and sanctify it to the upbuilding of thy kingdom. Oh, send more servants into thy vineyard. Lord, thou knowest why that it had to be as it was. Thou knowest why that we had to be disappointed. But Lord, may thou give in thy own time and in thy own way that men may be truly converted, called and thrust forth by thee, and that the rising generation may not be without thy truth. Lord, remember all the weak and the afflicted, and those that suffer from serious diseases. We remember those that have suffered
under great catastrophes in this world, where thou bringest even the forces of nature, that there is destruction, and that there is loss of life, and that men may so soon in a moment have to stand before their judge. Oh, we beseech thee that these callings may not go unheeded by us, our children, and the whole world. Lord, call us forth from our deadness to seek the true and the living God. And remember them that are in distress. Strengthen all those that come to their aid. May thou look upon us also, Lord. For we, oh, we have received out of thy hand a great blessing that was sought of thee. Lord, thou hast given us the abundance of showers upon the earth. Oh, what can we say to thee? Lord, we ought to acknowledge thee with a vow in this morning that says, Lord, we will walk in thy ways. And we will use the blessings in the fear of the Lord. We will walk in thy service. We will love thee. We will depart from the world. Lord, oh, we cannot give this in our hearts. Oh, break our hearts. And thou givest us the blessings. And thou bringest the catastrophes on others. But Lord, oh, that it may not be for our eternal damnation, that we are only made fat for the slaughter in that great day of days. Oh, that thy goodness may lead us to a true repentance. Lord, wilt thou then go with all those that are lonely, widows, widowers, and orphans? Be with all that need thee in special ways. Help us, Lord, in this morning. Wilt thou give us a little freedom and liberty to bring this little portion of thy holy word? Oh, that thou may take away all that hinders us. And may thou work, oh, that it may be a word prepared by thee, put in our mouth, for the bringing forth of fruit in this day, and that the rain of thy Spirit may come, may sanctify, may bless, and that there may be an abundance of that fruit that thou alone can give, forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, all stanzas. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 163, and the last collection today is for the building fund.
Congregation, it was for us in the week that has gone by a great disappointment that there was no freedom in our curatorium to receive men into our theological school. That is, of course, so undeserved, because indeed we have left the Lord days without number. But it is also so necessary, because it is the preaching of His Word that is the means that the Lord is using for the conversion of men, for the upbuilding of His kingdom, for the instruction of His people. And then when we look upon our rising generation, and when we look upon that which we must acknowledge, that is the condition of that spiritual life of the true church of God, then we can be sometimes so fearful. Paul says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Oh, does the welfare of our congregation, does the welfare of our denomination, does the welfare of our children and ourselves lay upon our hearts? Not that the Lord is always using His Word for the building up of His kingdom, because we also read that it will be a savor of death unto death. And there were not so many that were converted under the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But there will be a remnant. There will be a remnant that the Lord has chosen, and that the Lord will sanctify that preached word, that it may lay upon each and every one of our hearts, also the children, and also our young people, for your own welfare, in the future, the Lord willing. We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider something of this in this morning hour together, from the words of our text, which you can find here in Acts 8, and thereof the 35th verse. Acts 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. So far the words of our text. Philip preaches Jesus. First, the sending to this preaching. Second, the substance of this preaching. And third, the fruit upon this preaching. Philip preaches Jesus. First, the sending to this preaching. Second, the substance of this preaching. And third, the fruit upon this preaching. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He opened his mouth. preached unto him Jesus. That is not the calling of every one. That is not the calling even of every one of God's own children. Therefore, that work of the curatorium, that is such a weighty work, that is to attempt to discern that men thrust themselves not forward. We can read of a man, he came to the Lord Jesus and he said to him, I will follow thee whithersoever thou wilt go. What did the Lord Jesus answer him? He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Then there was another man. He is chosen out by the Lord Jesus himself. And he is told to follow me. Oh, he has an excuse for the present time. He says, Lord, I will go later. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. And what did the Lord Jesus answer him? He said, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Thus it is the Lord Jesus himself who is calling his own servants. We read that here in a general way, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Later we hear this also in a more specific way, and that he sends Philip to a specific place. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Thus, he has to join himself to that chariot. And he is not allowed to separate himself from this chariot until that work that the Lord has given him to do within this chariot, until that work then is completely finished. We know that Moses was called and sent, but Moses was not so ready to go. But we do not read this here of Philip. We read that Philip arose and went. It was not so nice for his flesh. That was a desert place. He is commanded to go down here into the wilderness. But the calling of God's servants is not to please their flesh, but that is to walk in the way of the Lord. And sometimes they are called to preach to very many, even as the apostles on that day of Pentecost, where there are thousands of people that are gathered together. But here we read of God's servant, that he is called to preach unto but one man. Thus, the Lord is going to gather his people. And whether there are multitudes or whether they are individuals, but every one of those who are of that elect church, it is necessary that they are brought under that preaching of that word of God. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Thus, this was a great man. He was a man who was in the direct service of the royal house. Thus he has attained to great things in this world. There are not so many that the Lord is calling who are belonging to the rich and to the noble and to the mighty in this world. The temptations that are in those high places, they are very great. And Satan is often very powerfully using those temptations for the seduction of the souls. But the Lord, He is stronger than all of those temptations. And then we can see that here is a man that has attained to great heights in this world. And yet he is also a man that is called by the Lord. He is not of the Jews. No, he is of Ethiopia, and the Ethiopians, they were people who were despised by the Jews. We know that the Lord Jesus himself has been despised by the nation of the Jews. But what do we see here of the Lord? Here is a man that is despised of the Jews, but we see that there is no respect of persons with the Lord. What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He says, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." So we can read it in the Word of God, how that the princes, they shall come out of Egypt even, and that Ethiopia, they shall stretch forth their hands, we read, unto God. This man, he had come to Jerusalem, we read, for to worship. To Jerusalem from Ethiopia, that was no short distance. How long was that from your place this morning? That was just but a short distance. It did not need to take so much trouble and so much energy, did it, young people? But here we read a man who has come from so far away in not such a comfortable vehicle as you may travel in this morning. But there are many hindrances. We would say that if this man would desire that he would have an excuse, then there would be so many excuses. But there are no excuses. No, this man comes with desire. From such a faraway place, do we also come with such a desire into the house of God? And now the Lord, He is not only going to send His servant, but He is also going to give His servant the opportunity to preach His word. Thus, when the Lord is calling, when the Lord is speaking in the life of His people, and that He is calling them to the ministry, that He is sending them forth, then the ways of the providence of the Lord, they are also going to come to agree with that calling of the Lord. Because the Lord is over everything in this world. And the Lord will bring everything to work for good for His own church. And thus we see when the Lord is now sending this Philip into this desert place, then the Lord Himself has sent him for a specific purpose, for a specific man. He will send him at a specific time, and that he will meet this man to whom the Lord is sending him while he is upon his journey. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Thus he is reading in his Bible. He's reading in his Bible after he has been in the temple of the Lord. He's not all finished. No, he is undoubtedly thinking about something that he has heard there in Jerusalem, that he has seen in Jerusalem. Then he is meditating on this and he is searching further in that word of God. How is that now for us? Here is a man that is going to receive a great blessing. What is he doing? He's searching in that word of God. Did you ever do that? When you have gone away from the temple of the Lord, when you have come from the church to your own home, boys and girls, that you say, I will open once again that word of God. That I will look over once again that chapter that was read. That I will meditate on those things that I've heard within that house of God. Oh, there is a desire. Oh, that I might know where I might find him. That I may order my cause before him, that I may come before his judgment seat. Thus, when the minister, when Philip, when he finds this man, he is reading in that holy word of God. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? That is a searching question. Understandest thou what thou readest? What is our religion? Is that all form and custom? How often do we not read that word of God? We do not understand what we are reading. We finish reading, we close that Bible again, and we place it on its shelf, and we go on. And it never enters again into our thoughts. It is one thing to be without understanding. It is another thing to be without understanding and also without searching. Without reading and desiring and asking the Lord for the meaning of his word. Oh, do you cry after knowledge? Do you lift up your voice for understanding? Do you seek for her as silver? Do you search for her as for hid treasure? That is the man, Solomon says, who shall understand that fear of the Lord. Understandest thou what thou readest? And what does that man say to him? He says, how can I, except some man should guide me? How can I understand? Do you want that understanding to come from my own heart? I am so ignorant. Oh, how humble that grace has made this man. That he is ready to say that he does not understand. Boys and girls, are you ready to say that? That you don't understand in school? Are you ready to raise your hand and you ask your teacher what it means? Or are you too proud to do that? You say, I don't want everyone else in my class to know that I don't understand. Oh, when we will seek for knowledge, then first we must admit, we must confess that we don't know, that we are foolish. And then when it comes to the Word of God, there are many things that are easy and that are plain for us to understand, especially about the way of salvation. But there are also many things in the Word of God that are very difficult to understand, that are very dark for our understanding. That shows to us that we have lost the knowledge of God. In our deep fall, we do not understand anymore. Shows something also of the lack of spiritual life often. That we are also a natural man. We read that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Therefore, we need not only to confess our ignorance, but we need also to confess our deep fall. That we must say to the Lord, Lord, I am without understanding because I have but a natural, but I have an evil, but I have a carnal, but I have a vain heart that does not understand the things that are spiritual. How can I, except some man should guide me? Thus, what does this eunuch say? How can I understand unless I receive some help? How can I understand unless some man may assist me? What does he express? He expresses the need for the ministry of the Word of God. The need for the ministry. He has God's word, what he may have of it, but he does not know the meaning of that word. Then it is in the ministry of the word that the Lord is giving unto his church, showing to his church, teaching his church what the meaning of that word is. Thus, those are in error, young people. You will hear them from time to time, those that say, we don't need doctrine, we don't need the confessions of men, that is all the work of men. We need only the Word of God. Oh, it is true, that Word of God that stands above every word of men. But let us wait a moment. Because it is God who is instituting the ministry. And when we reject the ministry, we reject the means that the Lord has given for the gathering and for the instruction of his church. It is the Lord who has given to men to write the books of doctrine, to systematically place in order the doctrines of that holy word of God, then they need to be received by us. And by them we need to receive instruction, because this is the way the Lord will instruct his church. And now there is room in the heart of this man for the ministry of that word of God. What do we read here? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Blessed desire, because the pride of man that will reject all the teachings of men and it will stand aloof, higher than all others. But here it now is so different. Humility that is teachable, and that humility that is going to lead this man to a true wisdom when he will use the means in the Lord's hand. Or do we also desire to be instructed by the servants of the Lord? In congregation, we have a privilege. We have a privilege today more even than in past days, that more and more sound literature is being printed. That the works of our forefathers are again coming upon the presses. Oh, what are we doing with them? Are we sitting, young people, behind a computer, behind that internet for hours and hours and hours? Are we desiring to do all, to gain all the knowledge of this world? Oh, there are so many works that are so worth our time reading, then we would commend them to your searching, to your seeking. That is the reason that the Lord has given also these men to write these books. We read, we consider in our second thought the substance of this preaching. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Thus the Lord not only sends his servant, but the Lord is also going to help his servant. He will give him opportunity to preach. There is a man who is longing. There is a man who is hungering. There is a man who desires to hear the explanation of that word of God. Oh, do we also have such an opportunity to preach? When there will be a hunger and a thirst that may draw that word of God out of us. But we read here that the Lord is also leading his servant, even to that place. Sometimes the Lord is doing that miraculously. Often the Lord is doing that just in an ordinary way. But now when Philip comes to this eunuch, then this eunuch is already reading from these holy scriptures. And then he has such an opportunity to do what we read here in our text. And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. For what else does the Lord send his servants? Is that not the task of the servants of the Lord to preach unto men Jesus? Is there not but one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved? And yet, congregation, must we not say also that there is much preaching of that name Jesus which so much grieves us? And why? Because it is not really a preaching of that name Jesus. Or what is it? What is it that that name Jesus contains? Because that name Jesus is so full of meaning. Do you know what that name means, boys and girls? That is not just a nice name that we may preach to say Jesus loves you. No. No, there is much meaning in that name. What does that name mean? He was called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Thus, when we preach that name Jesus, then we must preach what that name means. That is, that it is salvation from sin. And when that is missing, then we have we do not preach the name Jesus at all. That is why the late Reverend Vergunst has written this in his article, The Characteristics of Our Denomination. We have considered it together, that foundation needs to be laid within us. And what is this? That foundation, That is, in the knowledge, he says, the saving knowledge of our misery. Because the preaching of our misery, that is nothing less than a preaching of the name Jesus. So how can that be? Yes, that is the first thing that we must come to know of Jesus. That is, that we need Him. Thus, the preaching of that misery of man, that is nothing less than the preaching of the need for Jesus. And when that foundation may be laid, then there is room for the preaching of the deliverance which is in Jesus. Then we will come to experience the gratitude for that name Jesus. Therefore, our fathers have stressed in the preaching the necessity of misery, deliverance, and gratitude. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And that is the preaching of that law that is leading a man unto the need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he will be honored. Then he will be glorified. Do we know this in our own life? We don't ask you first, do you know the deliverance by Jesus? No, but we ask you first if you know the need for a Jesus. Philip, he may receive the freedom to preach thus unto this eunuch. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The preaching, that was the answer upon something. Because that Philip has asked, that eunuch has asked a question to Philip. What did he ask? He says, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Thus, he has been reading. He's not asking, what does this verse mean? No, he seems to understand something of the meaning of this passage, that it is speaking about a willing sacrifice. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. That it is speaking about one who gives his life in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. Oh, it seems he has grasped somewhat of what the meaning of this verse is, but he does not know what. He does not know him of whom this verse is speaking. Who is that he says will be such a willing sacrifice for his church? Who is that is going to give his life even for his church? Who is he? Where is that eunuch come from? He has come from Jerusalem. There the sacrifices are brought. What has he now experienced? He has also brought a sacrifice. And what must he experience? That sacrifice could not take away his sin. Year after year, the sacrifices are brought. Why? They cannot make the comers perfect. Otherwise, we would cease to offer those sacrifices. Now he goes away from Jerusalem. And he still does not have something. What does he not have? Does not have peace in his conscience. No, his conscience is still speaking. He does not have what he needs to die, to stand before God. Now he reads something in that word of God. He reads about a substitute. He has seen something in that sacrifice laid upon that altar. Something is still so missing. Oh, who is it now? He has no light to see how it is possible that his sin may be taken away. We read of that man born blind, the Lord Jesus, he said to him, "Dost thou believe in the Son of God?" He said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Is that your question too? Lord, who is he? Oh, is that Son of God, is that mediator so hidden so that there is still no peace in your conscience? Oh, Father, my Father, behold the fire and the wood. Behold the justice of God. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Is there now someone of whom speaketh the prophet this? Is that question now also laying in our hearts? Then there comes the room for the preaching of the name of Jesus. You understand that even with your mind. Oh, what liberty. What liberty that must have been music in the ears of this Philip. When he hears this man and he is striving to know, he has never heard of that name of Jesus. Then what liberty to preach that name of Jesus. He does not have to say God will provide himself a lamb. No, he may say to that eunuch, God has. He has provided himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now he may preach to this Ethiopian, to this black man. And then we read he starts in this place, but he does not stop there. No, he began here in that same scripture. But then it is, as it were, that he goes on and on. And that he may lay out to this heathen man in whom the Lord has given that question, how can I make it right between God and my soul? And he may lay out to him that blessed way of reconciliation in the only begotten Son of God. Oh, what would it have been to sit there and to listen and to watch and to see this man drinking in that blessed message of the servant of the Lord. Oh, may we ever drink it in as the gospel to the poor. Let us sing Psalter 419. Stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. Blessed is the man whom thou hast chosen and bringest nigh to thee. that in thy courts, in thee reposing, his dwelling place may be. 2 and 3 of Psalter 419. Our last thought, the fruit upon this preaching. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Congregation, what is baptism? Baptism is that ordinance by which men are brought into the outward church, that they come among those who have joined themselves to the outward administration of the true church of God. Now it is when that grace is planted in the soul of that people that they have a desire also to be joined unto that true church. That is what Ruth said. She said, "Thy people, my people, and thy God, my God." In those early days, then they often experienced persecution when they joined themselves to the true church. So that was not so easy for them. And that could very easily have been also in the life of this eunuch. But what does he say? He says, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Oh, then he has a longing also to be part of that church. Oh, the life of this man, by that preaching of God's servant, that has changed in one moment. Because the Lord has made that man a seeking man. That the Lord has brought him unto the city of Jerusalem. But that man did not know what way to seek it. And it was in the outward ordinances that this man sought to come closer to that true and that living God whom he had come to love. But he had experienced in his life that it was not possible to come closer to that God, not through all my outward religion. Is that now also your experience? So that when this man went away from that temple, then that man is still without what he needs. But now under the preaching of God's servant, then he may preach unto him that name of Jesus. Then the Lord may open the eyes of this man, that he may be given to see that way in which it was possible for him to return again into that blessed communion with the Lord. That the Lord opened his eyes, and that the Lord showed to him through those very simple means, the explanation of his word, how that his soul could be delivered from all sin, how that he could be brought back again into that place that he had left, even in his own father Adam. Oh, what doth hinder me to be baptized? No, it is not baptism that is giving that true conversion, but it is that sacrament that is desired and by those who have come to know the substance of what that baptism speaks. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Oh, that is now the fruit of it. The fruit in the life of this eunuch, as it is the fruit in every one of those true children of the Lord, that they will go on their way rejoicing. Oh, children, I ask you in this morning hour, and then you can tell your father and mother when you go home, what you have heard this morning. Here is a man that went on his way rejoicing. And I read of more that went on their way rejoicing in the Bible. Who were they? Oh, they were the lame ones. When they had received strength again in their legs. when they were delivered by the Lord Jesus. They were the blind ones that could not see. And they received that sight by the Lord Jesus. And then we read that they go on their way rejoicing. Oh, they are the leprous ones that are so sick and that have to die, but are cured in one moment by the Lord Jesus, so that they go on their way rejoicing. Oh, they are, we read, the poor ones who have the gospel preached unto them, who go on their way rejoicing. It is the burdened ones, bowed down with grief, that may go on their way rejoicing, when they may only have one glimpse of a way that they can be reconciled unto God. Congregation, here is a man. Oh, the people of the Lord, how they would have rejoiced. Oh, how Philip, he must have rejoiced when he saw this man. He must have rejoiced when he saw this man reading, searching in that Word of God. Oh, he must have rejoiced when he felt that this man, he was so emptied by the Lord. Oh, Philip must have rejoiced and when he heard the question of this man that is seeking to know how that he can be saved. Oh, how must he have rejoiced when he saw a man that was not satisfied with all the outward ordinances in this world, but that needed more. Oh, then Philip must have rejoiced. But this man was not rejoicing. No, the hypocrite, he can rejoice in all his outward deeds. He can rejoice with all the outward ceremonies. For him it is enough. But this man was not rejoicing. No, this man was still seeking. Do that people ever rejoice? Or in the expectation, or we can see him rejoicing somewhat when we see him coming in his chariot to Jerusalem, and when it is still before him, and when his expectation is there that he goes up unto the house of the Lord, then there is hope and expectation, and there may be such a rejoicing in the heart even of those little ones. Do you know also that rejoicing, boys and girls, on the Sunday morning when it is the Lord's Day? Do you rejoice, young people, when you wake up on the Sabbath morn and you say, no, we then don't have to go over this world to do our labors, but we may go up this morning unto the house of God. Oh, may you ever rejoice. And yet, oh, that soul, oh, that can never truly rejoice until it may come to that place where it may be shown in all its need and in all its desire, that it may be shown that name Jesus, that there is the way, that it is he whom the Father has given that substitute. And then congregation, that people may rejoice in that revelation of that Son of God. Oh, is there then no sorrow? Is there then no trembling? They still have a burden. But then there is an expectation. Then their whole life changes. Then they seek it not in their deeds. They seek it not in the ordinances, but then they begin to seek it in that one name that is given under heaven. And then there is an expectation. though they are laboring under a burden of guilt and of sin that is not yet taken away, and so they may still rejoice, though there is so much burden, until that time that the Lord is pleased to bring them into the application, and that the Lord is pleased to speak, to take that burden of their guilt away, and to reconcile their soul with the triune God. Have they no more sorrow then? Oh, they still have sorrow to the last breath. Why? That law in my members. Because sanctification that is still not complete. Thus, they will rejoice when that guilt is now taken away. They will still sorrow under the burden of the pollution for sin. And one day that will be taken away also. And they look forward in expectation by moments in this world that they may rejoice eternally, world without end, in that Lamb who opened not his mouth. O Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and many shall come from the east and from the west, and they shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that eunuch, that black man, he will be there too. And he will rejoice in that name Jesus. Congregation, will we also rejoice with him? That bride, she says, I am black, but comely. And she may rejoice forever and forever in that name. But what will be our eternal portion after all the preaching of the servants of the Lord in our life? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, may it not testify against us. Forgive our many sins. O draw our hearts to love and to fear thee in truth. Bless thy word. Bring us safely home and with desire in thy house in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 421, 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. Though passing through a vale of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears. With winged hope and power impelling, the wilderness by showers blessed is now a pilgrim's vale of rest. 3 and 4 of Psalter 421. So Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.